the Lord placed in my heart for us to address during this year is along the lines of finding direction. One of those is finding direction for or to receive or to walk in, to receive healing, to walk in health. And, you know, you don't need just healing and health. We need wholeness. We need wellness. We need to be healed. We need to be healthy or to see health. And we need wellness. The thing that we must understand, I think, at the outset, is that we live in a broken world. I have iterated that. Others have spoken that. It's such an important part of the believer's life to understand that we do live in a broken world. We need to be always cognizant of the fact that health is not something that we always are guilty of messing it up. Satan has a way of doing guilt trip on many believers because of this issue of health and the need for health. And sometimes he points at us and says, you know, you messed that up. But while we are trying to get clarity about healing, health, and wellness, we need to be clear about the source and the cause. A part of what he wants us to do, and is a part of the human dilemma, it's a dilemma to me, and that is we want to be responsible for fixing everything. And the reason is because we kind of turn ourselves in this direction that think where we put the blame or at least indirectly put the responsibility of not having it or losing it on us. But the truth of the matter is sometimes we have nothing to do with it except we were born. And I want to address that so that we can just be clear and then even understand how we are to approach God in faith and confidence. Let's pray. Father, with everything in me, I want to be your instrument. I want my tongue, my words, inflections of my voice, the thought patterns, I want everything that I say tonight, probably more now than ever before, to be the words of the source. Let these words be your words. Speak with my tongue. Think with my mind. I release myself to pour into your children all that you've given to me and all that you will give to me as I release myself to flow in the Holy Ghost for tonight. for prosperity, for posterity, for future, for hope and a future. In Jesus' name, thank you, Lord, and amen. Let's start with, who did sin that this man was born blind? Since I'm speaking to a more mature church and knowledgeable church biblically, don't have to get into reading every scripture, but let me just rehearse some things with you. And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents, but that the works of God might be manifested. Now, let's dig a little deeper into that to be clear. Because at first glance, it could come across as God wanted him to be blind. That God made him blind. Or that God, it was his will for the man to be blind. Their question was filled with confusion at the start, because the confusion of the question was in this. They were starting from the premise that everything has to do with God. If the rock falls, must have been God. If my mother was this, it must have been God. If my father was that, it must have been God. It's error in so many ways. The main way it's an error is because it presupposes that God is acting on both sides of the equation, for and against himself. As if God is pretty mixed up. God causes trouble, and there are people who have a problem. They go around setting fires so they can get on the fire truck, come around, and put out the fire. There are people who cause problems. We don't refer to them as being well. We refer to them as being off, wrong. We should at least give God the same kind of break. That God, first of all, is not in the business of messing people up just so he can fix them. God is always in the business of directing people toward his help so that he can be glorified, and not just leaving them in their predicament. If they can be found in the place where he is open and he is ready and they are available to receive what he has. God is a God of possibilities. He's not just a God of possibilities for good people or for bad people. Jesus says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Never ever believe that God holds up rain because we're out of order. or something is out of order. The man was blind, but God always, the Bible says, he is searching throughout the world, looking for opportunities to show himself as a strong God. It's in his good pleasure to give people kingdom benefits. It's his pleasure. And so when you think about the blind man, don't think in the way that somehow God made him that way. God making something a way and someone being born a way are two different things. Here's what God does. The only way you can refer to that and be in balance in Scripture is that, first of all, God says, and this we know, that all things work together for good to them that love God, who are called according to his purpose. And it says he works out all things after the counsel of his own will. God always moves to get the glory. The cause is not nearly as important as God always moves to get the glory. Whether he gets the glory instantly or gets it after a period of time. We know that one of those stories about the blind man, he was of age, probably 40 years old or so. So for 40 years, he was blind. But he came in contact with the healer. And coming in contact with the healer, this was an opportunity for God to manifest himself. And with that manifestation, he makes it clear. And I'm not going to deal too much with that, but I just want to just really press in on that point. He says, neither the man sinned nor his parents, that he was born like this. But now, why was he born like that? Because we're in a broken world. When Adam sinned, the Bible said death passed upon all of us. And whether death is manifested in a person not being able to breathe again or is manifested in something that takes or deprives some organ or some part of a human being of life, is still death. The Bible describes it as death working in you. Death working in you. Death working in you. The scripture even uses the phrase sick unto death. Because death is not necessarily instantaneous. Sometime death is progressive. And sometimes it brings about changes in the vitality of our organs and body parts. Here's what God makes clear to us. Don't believe that I did it to you. Believe that I'm available to get you beyond it and to heal you of it. Now, how do we find these direction, the direction that we need that leads us to healing, health, and wholeness? While I could deal with some specifics about healing, some specifics about health, specifics about wholeness or wellness, it's important for us to be clear that direction is something God wants to give every facet of life. Now, let's just look at a few verses of scripture that specifically deals with God providing direction. In Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23, that's the main verse that I want us to look at in this chapter. Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. Here's what it says. O Lord, I know that the way of man is what? Not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to what? To direct his step. He's saying, Lord, if I'm not clear about anything, I'm clear about that. There is even some false teaching now that tells people, look in yourself rather than look to God. Look in yourself. Look in your mind. Look inwardly. We are to look to God and hear his voice and receive his guidance. And his guidance will take us to the destination that we need to arrive at. But we do not need to start from the presumption that direction is in me. Because a part of that is I'm assuming that I don't need God. And we always need him. Amen again. We always need him. So he says, I know this is not in man to direct his steps. So the writer in the book of Proverbs tells us how direction really is supposed to come. We read this many times, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 6. Proverbs 3 and 6. Are we there? He says, in all thy ways, do what? Acknowledge him. And what? He shall direct thy path. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct your path. This verse is good, but it is better when it is surrounded by its strengtheners. Let's start back at verse 1 so that we can see the strengtheners for this verse. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. So, when it comes down to healing, health, and wellness, all of us tie it to these things that we just read. Length of days. Don't we tie that to healing, health, and wellness? Long life. Amen. Peace, amen. He says, forget not my law and let thine heart keep my commandments. And if you let your heart keep his commandments. And I want to just kind of really, really try to hone in on this because so much of our victory in this area is really tied to what we release our hearts to be effective in and to benefit from. I know that many times when we begin to wonder, you know, what's going on in my body? What's going on in me? While it is not always our fault or our, some consequence of our action, but there is something about the human body that there's an equilibrium, if that would, where there are all of these organs and chemicals and everything is working together, working in a system. I think I talked about it a few Sundays ago where we were dealing with the principles concerning death and how difficult it is for medical science to even bring a person back from death. In fact, the main thing they can do is shock you and get your heart to beating again. But if the other systems have begun to shut down, getting your heart to beating again, there's nothing you can do to shock the kidneys back to working again, or shock the liver back to working again, or shock the brain back to working again. You can't, there's no stimuli for that. There's only stimuli for getting the heart to beating again. But it is known that if the heart circulates the blood, there's life in the blood. And when there's life in the blood, it goes all over the body. And so the word of God is letting us know that there are some things that we can do, hallelujah, that will help us to stay on track with well living. Now hold your finger there where we just read there and look in Isaiah. I believe it is Isaiah chapter 1, somewhere near verse 18. Glory to God. Verse 17, I'll just start back what he says at verse 16. That's a good place to start. He said, wash you, make you clean, put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes, cease to do evil. Look at the next part, the next verse. What does it say? Learn to do what? Well. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. Learn to do well. And back in Proverbs chapter 3, he says, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Let your heart, don't just do it as a matter of bodily function. Do it as a matter of heart. Because out of the heart proceeds all of the issues of life. Let your heart keep his commandment, because these, keeping his commandments alone, is supernatural. Is what? It's supernatural. Keeping his commandments alone is supernatural. And he says, if you keep my commandments, if you do them, let your heart keep them, length of days you'll get, long life you'll get, and peace you'll get. They will be added to you. They will be added to you. They will be what? Added to you. They will be what? Added to you. In other words, your life may be experiencing depletion, depletion of health, depletion of healing, depletion of wellness, but these will add to your life. Add to your life. They will do what? They will add to your life. What's our example? Go over there, glory to God, in the Kings, and you'll find a man that the prophet came to him and told him, set your house in order. You're going to die. You're going to not live. You're not going to make it through this. And that man, glory to God, looked that sickness, the thief of life, in the face, glory to God, and said, no, I'm not going to look at you. I'm looking to the wall. He turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, you know how I live. Lord, you know how I walked uprightly before you. and the prophet had left the king palace and was walking on out the front door and walking on out into the court. But before the prophet could get all the way outside of the gate, the Holy Ghost, the power of God, moved up on him again and said, go back and tell him and give him a number. And he walked back into that palace. He didn't see the king praying. For all he knew, the king was crying. People would have known the king was crying. Got back to Hezekiah and said, the Lord says, I'm going to give you 15 more years. And he recovered. He did what? He recovered and lived. And what? Lived. He lived. Now, Lord, help me. Okay. All right. It's important that when God gives you more time, more years, more space, that it is used for his glory and that it is something that works for good and posterity in your life. Hezekiah was well known for the fact that he lived. He kept on walking uprightly before God. But some way, somehow, during those 15 years, he gave birth to a son. Now, whether he did all that he needed to do for the son, some of the details are not in scripture, but that son turned out to be the next king. But he was the king that was more wicked than any other king that Israel ever had. Now, here is the concern about something like that. And here is the humanity of this. And here's the possibilities here. This, and I wouldn't talk this if I wasn't with more mature students of the word. You can look at that, and the question is, so was it God's will to carry him out of here before he could give birth to this child and cause Israel to fall into the worst valley of wickedness possible? Here's what I want you to understand. God is sovereign, and God outthinks us because he outknows us. Paul summed it up like this, and every believer needs to face life and death with this kind of understanding. For me to live is Christ. To die is not loss, is gain. The confusion that people have sometimes about somehow, if I go to be with the Lord, that God has taken something from me. But believers must understand that going to be with the Lord is far better. Is what? Far better. But believers also need to understand that God does give you choice. And this man chose to live and prayed for his choice. This was not some situation that came up to him that says, "Oh, you know, I feel death in the air." No. The prophet came to him and said, "The Lord told me to tell you, set your house in order. Set your house in order." I don't want to take time to deal with that, but I want you to just ponder this as you ponder this message after tonight. When God told him to set his house in order, there must have been more there than a need to prepare his financial business. His house was not in order. But God gave him space before the little foxes could destroy the vine to put things in order. But he got more time, and obviously his time was not spent to direct his son into the way of the Lord. Now, why are you going down that road? I'll give you one other thing here. How many times have we prayed and said, "Lord, save their life. Give them a chance. Give them a chance to raise them up." And the person said, "Lord, I want you to raise me up. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to be a preacher." You know, they go, just give me, and they do that. Only for us to sometime, a year later, 5 years later, 3 years later, say, the Lord did all that for you. Look at you back in the same mess. Maybe if God had taken you out of it, because it is really terrible when sometimes those very same people, what you know about the Word and what you know about God, God let them live. When they were on their hospital bed, they were ready for heaven. But when they finally died, they died and went to hell. Because they didn't take the extension of life and use it for the glory of God. All I'm trying to say is, this is what I'm trying to say. God will give you length of days. He'll add to your life just by you keeping his commandment. But he says, let not mercy and truth do what? Forsake thee. Do what with them? Bind them upon thy neck and write them on the table of thine heart. And look at the next thing. He said, you'll find what? Favor. And here's one of the things you need to have wellness, health, and good life. You need this. Good. Are you all, we together here? Good understanding in the sight of God and in the sight of man. I wish somebody would say with me, we need it, we need it, we need it. Trust in the Lord, he says, with all thine heart. And do what? Lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways do what? Acknowledge him, and he shall, that's where we started, direct thy path. Be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord, depart from evil, and what's going to happen? It shall be help to thy navel, and what? Marrow to thy bones. This is God giving direction for healing, for health, and wellness. So what are you trying to say, Pastor? At the top of the list, my vertical relationship needs to be in order. My what? My vertical relationship. I'm not just talking about the something in the air, something up there. No, I'm talking about our relationship with the Heavenly Father. That needs to be in order. Amen, church. A couple of other scriptures here. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 5. Let's look at it really quickly here. Few more minutes. 11 and verse 5. Are y'all getting anything? Am I confusing anybody? All right, be honest with me now, because I don't want anybody to leave here confused, because I dropped some heavy stuff tonight. I had no idea. All right? Proverbs 11 and 6. The righteousness of the upright shall do what? Deliver them. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them. And I'm reading the wrong verse, aren't I? All right, but it's good. But we'll just go back to verse 5 and keep on going. Hallelujah. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way. Now, let me just say it like this. Don't ever be afraid of the word perfect. Don't ever be afraid of the word perfect or its use in your life. Even if people say, I'm not perfect, you're not perfect, ain't nobody perfect. Most of that talk is from a perspective of distortion. You know what they're saying? You know, to be perfect, that means, you know, you do everything perfectly right. You drive down the road. You drive down the road straight. But, you know, here's the reality. When something is perfect, the best way to understand is that it is a relative and conditional word. For example, you can drive perfectly down the road with the steering wheel in your hand. But if you ride down the road and you don't do minor corrections as you drive, you're going to have a wreck. If you were riding with someone and they said, I'm going to hold it straight, and I'm going to put my foot and hold it in one place on the accelerator, I'm driving perfectly 30 miles an hour and driving straight, you say, hold on, let me get out of here. Because you're going to have a wreck. You're going to run into somebody because you perfection is not best understood in from a perspective that there are no other conditions. There are always other conditions. Always. Amen. So you didn't say that right. Well, you know, there's possibility that my perfection still is flawed by the fact that there was noise in the air or some other distraction. So what I thought I heard, maybe I didn't hear. And there have been times, you know how it is, with your own head. Lord, my time just gone away from me. With your own head, you say, so. And the person said, I didn't go left. So I didn't say you went left. Yes, you did. You just said I went left. No, I didn't. You misheard me. And the other people standing around says, yes, you did. No, I couldn't have said it. Well, out of the mouth of two witnesses, the words hadn't been established. You did say it. But sometimes, even in your head thinks one way, and what comes out of your mouth is something completely different. Perfection, I need to say that again, perfection always keeps in mind that there are other factors. There are what? Other factors. You can make a perfect score on a test, but that doesn't mean that everything that could have been tested was even tested. Life is not digital. Life is analog. I hope y'all got that. Glory to God. I hope you got that. Let me. Oh, my goodness. He said, the righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall do what? Deliver them, but the transgressor shall be taken in his own naughtiness. Let's keep reading. When a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall do what? Perish, and the hope of unjust men perish. The righteous is what? Delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Glory to God. So here's God reminding us. Oh, we need to read the rest of this. An hypocrite with his mouth destroys his neighbor, but through knowledge, through what? Knowledge shall the just be what? Deliver. So here's God trying to help us to understand how wholeness comes, how wellness comes. It's all tied, first of all, the vertical relationship. And the next time I deal with this, I'm going to try to deal with that horizontal part. That's life, interaction with others, dealing with things, food, other kind of things like that. Because Paul did tell them, even when they were fasting after the shipwreck, they could have died, but he told them, eat is for your health. I can't deal with that tonight, but I just give you this rest of this. He says, verse 10, when it goeth well with the righteous, help me to say, and it does go well with the righteous. Come on, say it again. It goes well with the righteous. Don't let the enemy fill you up with all of that pessimism. It goes well with the righteous. Not if it goes well, but what? It goes well. And then he says, and when it goes well. Not if it will go well, but when it goes well. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. When it goes well with the righteous, the city, what? Rejoices. And when the wicked perishes, there is what? Shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted. Oh, hallelujah. I'm saying to you tonight, glory to God, that there are blessings that follow the people of God. There are blessings that follow the people of God. There are blessings that follow your life. There are blessings that follow us as we are moving in God's direction. Always. Say with me, always. So God is a God that brings direction. He brings what? He brings direction. Now, Ecclesiastes 10:10. I got much more, but I'll just stop right there. All right. In Ecclesiastes 10:10. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Ecclesiastes, the words of the preacher. 10:10. Ecclesiastes 10:10. Y'all have that? All right. Let's see what it says. It says, if the iron be what? Blunt. And he do not welt the edge, then must he put to more strength. What does that mean? If it's dull and not getting sharpened, it takes more strength to get the job done. In other words, I'm going to throw this in there. My dad says this a lot. Don't live to eat. Don't eat to live. Don't live to eat. Eat to live. Did I get it right that time? See, thank God for God kind of perfection. Glory to God. Don't live to eat, but do what? Eat to live. Because if you don't eat to live, you make the iron or the axe. This is really talking about a person using an axe to, if the edge is blunt, you're trying to chop a tree down. You can chop it down, but you have to use more strength. Look at somebody near you and tell them, just, you know, sharpen the axe, sharpen the axe, sharpen the axe. He said, but wisdom is what? But wisdom is what? Profitable to do what? Direct. Now, how do I get direction from God for all of these things? If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. And what does God do? He gives, and he gives it liberally. He doesn't hold back. Glory to God. He said, and it shall be given him. Wisdom is profitable to direct. You want direction? Ask for wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom on what I need to do about this, what I need to do about that. And wisdom directs. Wisdom does what? Wisdom does what? Wisdom directs. Use it. Use it. Ask for it. Get it. Make it a part of your life. And God will direct us. He will direct us. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this night, and thank you for this time you've given to us to come together around the word of the Lord. And Lord, with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength, I pray that your people have not just heard, that the Spirit of God has gone beyond even my limitations, and you cause their spirit to hear, hallelujah, what the Holy Spirit was saying to the church. Thank you that clarity, even of things that were not completely clear tonight, that clarity will come in Jesus' name, so that we'll know how to abound more and more in the things of God. But we pray in Jesus' name. And Father, we thank you. Even as we're preparing to leave here, we're going to bless you and honor you with our substance. Thank you for our privilege to just give gifts, to honor you with the finances that we have. Receive them as we give in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.